Okay. We are on Shin Aleph. Shin Aleph, Test Zion. Kitea, She'eno Yachalelech Klal Al Shokov, Ella Yoshev Al Kise. Someone who is missing part of one leg. So he's not able to walk. He's not able to walk on his alshokov, on his thighs, right? So it's he's missing, let's say, below the knee. El yoshev, or you know, somewhere between the waist and the knee. El yoshev al kisei. So now he sits in not what we would call a wheelchair. This is probably a quote from the Mishnah when they would literally just have a wooden chair that he would sit in, maybe even be tied into it. Ukeshenaka memakomo. And when he would try to move around, when he would try to let's say, take a pace, nismach al yadav va'al shokav, he would lean on his hands and on the one shok that does still work. V'nidchaf lafana, and then he'd push himself forward. Va'osa semuchos shel or o'etz l'roshe shokav, and he would make supports out of leather or wood for his stumps of the top of his legs. O raglav hatluyim, o raglav, or for more of his leg, hatluyim, and those things, those supports would be hanging. Ukeshu nishan al yada v'oker atzman nishan gam al raglav ktsas. When he moves forward and he's leaning on his hands, and he's moving himself forward, he is resting on his leg, I'm assuming the good leg, a little bit. So then, ein yosem behem b'shabbos. So now he cannot go out with these coverings that he has on his stumps that he does not lean on. De'aydi de'tluyim v'lo manchi ya'ara, because since they're just hanging in the air, they're just suspended, and they don't rest on the ground, the ones that are on the stumps that he's not using his weight on, zinin de'mishtalfi, there will be times when they get pulled off, they slip off. So again, the general rule is that anything that could slip off, we saw this already in the previous sif, when he has most of his leg just missing his foot and he puts it into like a wooden shoe to make it look like a foot, that could come off. And he doesn't put his weight on it. And if we're afraid that if it comes off, he'll pick it up and carry it. Dalarams. That's always the concern. All of this is talking about walking around in an area with no Erev. Zimna de Mishtafi, sometimes it will slip off, and we're afraid that he'll carry it. Aval b'kisei v'safsalim haktanim shebiyadav. But these are kind of like crutches, like a small chair or a bench that's in his hands. Again, I assume it's more like a crutch. Mutalat says he is allowed to go out with, even in Rosh Hashanah, because he is putting his weight on that, and then a crutch, a person needs to walk around, it's like a malbush, it's like we wear shoes, he's using a crutch. Kitea b'shtei raglav, but someone who lost both of his legs, or part of both of his legs, umahalech al shokav v'al arkubosav, and so now he is putting his weight on both of his thighs, or his knees, on his elbows. Va'osa smuchas shel ar l'shokav, and now he's making leather supports. And the Mishnah Berurah says it could also be wood. It doesn't really matter. The distinction between the later part of this sif and the beginning part isn't so much between the leather and wood. It's more as whether he's putting his weight on it. Although there is a machlokus on that point. And he's making supports for his stumps out of leather, Yosef ben Mishavis. But here, since he is putting his weight on them in order to move forward, he can go out with that. Because we're not afraid that it's going to slip off, because he can't walk if it slips off. Agav, v'chein mota latzeis b'min al shel eitz, sh'aregel nichnas bo. We're also, a person is allowed to go out in a wooden shoe that his real foot goes into. And there's no concern that it'll fall. Again, this isn't just something that the stump kind of fits in, someone that is missing most of his foot, just foot. We're talking about where it'll go in a way that there's no concern that it'll slip off. So once you're not concerned that it'll slip off, then it doesn't matter if the shoe is made out of wood. V'chein bepantanis demishtalfi b'mehera umemela. You are allowed to go out with this thing that does. Oh yeah, these are slippers. You're allowed to walk out on Shabbos to a Rishus HaRabim with slippers that are made to slip off the foot easily, without you untying anything, because you're not going to walk around without the slipper. If it does fall off, you'll put your foot right back in and continue. You're not going to continue walking without it. Rashbav Tafresh Zayin. V'yesh machmirin v'osin. However, there are some that say you should not walk around in Rishus HaRabim with slippers. Also, a person should not go out on Shabbos barefoot in a place that it's not normal to go around barefoot, I guess, let's say on the beach. I guess on the beach it's okay to walk around barefoot. The concern is that we don't want him to forget that today is Shabbos. So walking around not in nice mechubed begadim, certainly barefoot, is a concern that you'll forget that it's Shabbos. Bilti davar kamoshu yaseh b'chol bilti davar achashia shizkar al yado shu Shabbos. Unless you're wearing something that will remind you that it's Shabbos. Lo yavo l'chalav, because we're afraid that you'll come to do chil on Shabbos. Yud zayin chiger she'en yachol lelech b'lo makel. Someone who's lame, he's not able to walk without a crutch or even without a walking stick. Muta lelech bo afilo eno kosher bo. He's allowed to walk around with it, even if it's not tied onto him. Again, because since he can't walk without it, we're not afraid that he's going to carry it because he needs it to walk. Avon eshelo lelech zulaso. However, a cane that someone is able to walk around without it. This gets a little more complicated. He does use it, but he's really only using it to stabilize himself. Asur. So then you're not allowed to walk around on Shabbos in Rishus HaRabim, even someone who's older, but he's only using the cane to sometimes stabilize himself, but he is able to walk. It's asur. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes into that if, let's say, it's rainy weather or he's walking to a sloped area, and then there's a concern that he's going to fall. So then the cane really is enabling him to walk. So this issur of walking around with the cane, which is only for stabilizing, should probably ask your local Orthodox rabbi, because it's not absolute. The Mishnah Berurah does say that there are situations where if he's concerned he's going to slip, then even if it's just for stabilizing, then it is considered an ability for him to, it enables him to walk. A sick person that is now able to walk around with a crutch, it's the same thing as someone who is lame, in the sense that if he needs it to walk, he's allowed to walk around with it. And if he's only using it to stabilize, then it's like the older person that only uses it to stabilize and generally should not walk around unless he's afraid he's going to slip. Yudches. Suma asalo alatzes b'makel. A blind person is not allowed to walk around with his stick that he uses to walk. Now, I don't really understand this, because based on the rule that we had before, that someone who can't walk around without it, so then it's like a malbush for that person. So I don't understand why a blind person. It could be that the sticks that they used in those days were different. I'm just going to leave it as a question.
It says over here that in the note, sight that is beyond Erev.
Yeah, everything that we're talking about walking around outside with these things is outside of an Erev. There's no problem to use any of these things in an Erev. We haven't talked about anything that's muktzah here. So all these things are muktzah inside of an Erev. Now, even for the Summa, it says, once you brought this up, I'm reading in the Mishnah Berurah, Samaches, Because he is able to walk around without the stick. He's only taking it to pathfind? Or, you know, so I don't really understand how it plays out with modern psak. But assuming that what the Mishnah Berurah is explaining, that really he is able to walk without this walking stick, which is true for a blind person, he just doesn't know where he's going, he might walk into a wall, so then maybe it is true that a blind person cannot walk around with his walking stick outside of an Arab. I'm just a little surprised, that's all. Yes?
Then you would need an aid, somebody to guide.
Okay, so then he could walk around with an aid.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, practically speaking, what a blind person does these days. And we'll just leave it at that. Yitzes. Mishu asur ukavoim. Someone who is chained, like a ball and chain, like prisoners used to walk around with a ball and chain, he's allowed to do that outside of the Erev. Pirish kein tabas gadolim shesogim behem haraglaim. He has these chains around his feet. He's allowed to go around with them because for him, someone who is a prisoner, that's normal. That's how he walks around. That's his malbush. Yeah. A chain, walking around and chained on his legs. Now, I don't know, the modern equivalent now would probably be something, an anklet that the police make sure that somebody is...
GPS,
a monitor. I don't know how that would apply to that or muktzah, but I would imagine that at least regarding the walking around, that it would be similar to this. But I'm not can't paskin on that. Chaf, we have to move forward. Chaf, ein yotzim ba'an katmin v'ukmin chamor she'osim halitzanim. So. My ability to relate to this is, you've sometimes seen a costume that people wear in Purim, where let's say he'll dress up as a cowboy, and the horse is attached to him, and it looks like he's riding a horse, and they have fake legs on the sides of this fake horse, but really he's walking around, and he's carrying this fake horse as part of his costume. So, this kind of thing, you're not allowed to walk around on Shabbos outside of an Erev with. Looks like he's riding it. Who knows? But really, he's carrying it. And he's walking regularly on his feet. Velo biksharim. A person also cannot go around on Shabbos outside of the Erev on stilts. V'heim esim gavoim. These are tall sticks, pieces of wood. Sheish ben moshel lekapa regel, that he can put his feet on stilts. And you use it to get around muddy areas so your feet don't get dirty. V'lo b'parmi, v'hem k'min tzuras parts of shnosim alapanam l'hafid b'hatinokos. You can't walk around with scary masks that were made to scare children. I guess it was a different time. But these were masks. It's not considered a malbush, so you can't walk around on Shabbos outside of Erev wearing a Purim mask. Chaf Aleph, en yotzim b'teva v'kupa u'machatzelas. So let's say it's raining outside and you want to protect yourself from the rain. So you can't use, let's say, a cardboard box or a chest or a mat that you hold over your head or even wear balance on your head to protect you from the rain. Avol yotzim b'sak v'yiriya v'chamila pirish b'gadam gasim. But you can go out with cloth that you drape around your body because the thickness or the coarseness of the cloth doesn't really matter. These days, people don't generally wear a potato sack. But that kind of thick cloth that's used, in commercial bags, it's still cloth. Or at least it's cloth-like. And so you can wear that wrapped around your head as a way to protect yourself from the rain. That is okay. Cloth or curtain material, anything like that. Chafbeis. Yotzim b'moch usfog shal hamaka. Now we're talking about our equivalent of Band-Aids. But in the old days, they didn't... it was a little bit more complicated. So they would have... bandages of cloth, usfog, you know, some kind of absorbent material, sh'al hamaka, that would absorb, let's say, the pus or whatever would, or blood coming out of the maka. V'shem rapim, because they would also protect the maka and it would allow it to heal. Hilka chavik mo tachshit, because now, then it becomes something that's serving the person's body, and we call that a tachshit. It's like jewelry. V'chein beklipa shum ubatzel, in those days they would use some kind of thin, onion skin or garlic skin. That's what they had. I guess these days it would be more like paper. O basplanus o melugma uritia, or a poultice or ointment, she'aleha, that you would put on one of these bandages. So you are allowed to go out with a band-aid, even if there is ointment on it. And all of these things were attached before Shabbos, because to attach them on Shabbos would be doing refuah on Shabbos. And then you would have to get into, is this a chola she'esh bo sakana? And, you know, to be allowed to do that. But we're talking about the problem of walking around, outside of an Erev with these things. So you are allowed to go around with these things, both with the bandage part and the ointment that's on it. The naflu me'aleh lo yachzirena, but if they fell off, you cannot put them back on outside of an Erev. But kol shekein shelo yitneim b'tchila, of course, you're not allowed to put these back on. You're not allowed to put these on Shabbos, like we explained, because that would be refuah. Aval asa likro chut o meshicha alamaka. Now we talked about you can walk around with a bandage, but you're not allowed to walk around with, they used to in the old days tie a thread or a string alamaka over a wound. Since a thread or a string don't really do any refuah, I think the point is that they don't leave scars. I don't exactly know why they would put them on, but or some kind of person would put it on for lekavod, but they would not perform any healing act. So then you can't walk around with it. So havi masoi, because then it's not servicing you, it's not healing you. So then it's just something that you're carrying, and then it would be chil shabbos you'd be carrying. I will be igud shekarach al haritiyah shelo tipol. But you know, if you tie down the bandage with more cloth, or even I imagine even with string, the point is that this is your way of tying the bandage onto you. Shelo tipol me'alav yochalei lechbo. So just the fact that it's string or thread, that's not the problem. The problem is whether it's servicing the person or not. But then the kosher matiro. So we said that you can't take the bandage off and on, because, you know, opening it and then putting it back on would be considered refuah. However, untying and tying, I assume, a slip knot that allows the bandage to stay on the maka, that part is okay. I hope that's clear. Chaf Gimel. Habanim yotzim bezagin, pirish kamin pa'amonim katanim. Boys can go out with bells that are attached, I'm sorry, that are woven into their clothing. Harugam lehem bechsusam, that are woven into the clothes. Avlam enam harugam lo, but if they're just attached, but they're not woven into it, it's not really a part of the baged, then he cannot walk out with it. Why? Because there's a concern that people may laugh at him, he may take it off, or there's a concern that somehow it'll come off and then he'll carry it. But if it is literally part of the baged, if it was woven into, and in those days they used to do it, have bells woven into their clothing, then it's fine. Then that's not considered carrying outside of an Erev. Agav lo mahani hada mechuba lechsus. It doesn't help if it's attached. Rak v'davar shdakal yus mechuba sham. Attaching only helps to something that is normal to be attached. Avam mechuba sham davar she'ein darga b'kach. But if you attach something that's not normal to be attached, asar. You're not allowed to go around on Shabbos outside of an Erev with something that's not normally attached, and you just happen to somehow attach it. The Bir Halacha quotes from this point that's why you're allowed to walk around with a hood that's attached to your coat to protect you from, let's say, the rain. Some of them are sometimes only zippered on or only buttoned on. It seems like that should be fine because it's normal to be attached, and it is attached, and the Bir Halacha, you know, quotes it. This is pretty sad. Those green circles, these green patches, I guess to our mind, a yellow star. Shagaza Hamalcha Shakol Yudisa Achas Mambiksuso, that the government decreed that every Jew has to carry one of them on his clothing. You are allowed to go out with them on Shabbos afilo eno tafor b'ksu. So even if it's not completely sewed in, rak mechuber sham ktsas, but it's only somewhat attached, because there's not a concern that you're going to detach it and walk around without it, because the gzeres hamalchus, a person wouldn't do that. However, even if it's only loosely attached, it's not chashuv enough that if it did get detached, that it's so chashuv that he would walk around carrying it. It's not that chashuv that he would do that. So it's right in the sweet spot. It's chashuv enough that he would not detach it on purpose, but not chashuv enough that if it got detached, that he would carry it. Similarly, a person is allowed to walk around with a handkerchief that he uses to clean his nose, shekorn potzilait, a handkerchief. Im mechur beluksus, dafka, if it is literally sewn in and attached strongly to the garment. Modern day handkerchiefs are generally not attached. So then it would be a problem to go around outside of an Erev. But these handkerchiefs, which in those days were sewn in and were attached, you could walk around with them. And now the Rama is referring back to the bells that were in the children's clothing, that were woven into the clothing. Dafka she'en behem inbal. That's only if they don't have a clapper in the bell; they don't make noise. Vein mashmin kol. Chaf Dalad, and we'll probably just do this one, and maybe we'll start on Kamea. We're getting into the whole point of kameas, amulets, or cameos, that people believed would have healing powers. So grasses that are tied on for refuah, a person is allowed to go around with, because again, they were believed to have power. They were considered to have power of refuah, and therefore they are servicing the body, and it's not a masoi. Chafhe, ein yotzen bekameh she'eno mumcha. Now, what about amulets that had written words in them? So if they are not, we'll just use the word certified. If they're not certified as working kameas, then you cannot walk around with them. The only kind of kamea, the only kind of amulet you can walk around is a certified working kamea. Them who mumcha yotzenbo. But if it is certified, you can go around with it. Again, it's considered actually performing refuah, and you're allowed to go around with it because it's servicing you. Loshna ismachi gavra velo kamea. And it doesn't matter whether the certification is on the person that wrote it, but not on the kamea yet, or if the kamea, we're going to get to the or much later in the Sif, or if the kamea is certified. But if the person is certified on this kamea, then you're allowed to walk around with it. What's the case if the person is certified? He wrote some kind of incantation, we'll call it, in three different letters and three different parchments that are in the kamea, in the amulet. V'rafu shloshtam shlosha b'nei adam. And these three amulets that he wrote cured three people. That is, each amulet cured one person. Shesmachi gavra la osalachash. And he had written the exact same incantation in all of them. So now this person is considered certified for that incantation. B'kol pam shechtavenu, anytime that he would write it. Now, if he writes new ones, those would also be now certified, because, but only if he writes that exact same incantation. And of course, the first three that I wrote are also already certified. Aval, and so a person can walk around with any of those three that he first wrote, or a fourth one, or any new ones that he writes, as long as it's the same incantation. But if he writes a different incantation, he's not certified in that. A person cannot walk around with that outside of rishus, outside of an Erev. V'gam ein hakamea mumcha emichtavenu acher. And also the kamea is not considered certified if someone else were to write it, even though it's the same incantation. And it also doesn't matter, we're going back to that first clause, it also doesn't matter whether the amulet is certified. Lo shna ismachi kameya. If the amulet was certified, v'lo gavra kagon, shkos lachash echad bi'igeres achas, the person wrote one incantation in one amulet, rifa bo gimel pa'amim, and that one amulet cured three people, or even one person three times. Shos igeres mumcha. And then that amulet is now considered certified. Look all of them for anybody. V'kolshkein yismachi gavra v'kameya. If both the person writing and the kameya got certified at the same time, of course you can walk around with that. That's a kal v'chomer. Because on shikasav lachash echad b'gimel nigaras, he wrote one incantation in three amulets. V'chol achas ho'ilo l'gimel anashim, and each one of them helped somebody three times, olodim echad shlosha pamim, or one person three times. So then, ismachi gaber lachash zeh, b'chol igeres sheichtavenu, then this person is certified for this incantation in any amulet that he will continue to write. Ismachu igeres olodim, and also these amulets are certified for anybody. Haga, b'dach kishabo beiz hamachos b'yachad. It's only when the two certifications happen at the same time. Alo ismachi gaber tchila, but if first the person got certified, and then he wrote a kameya that healed three people, then we don't say that the kameya has become certified, because we've already established that the person that wrote it is a certification. We're saying that we would then say that this kameya works because of the person that wrote it. But if a person wrote three kameyas for one person, and three times this person was cured, that means each kameya healed only once. So then, because he wrote three different incantations, so then the person is not certified and the kameyas are not certified. Once it is considered a certified kameya, you can walk around with it, whether it has written incantations in it, or if it has herbs in it, that's considered that it heals you. Whether the person is a cholashesh basakana or not. And it's not that he already got sick and now he's putting it on to heal him. That's not the only time. He didn't get sick at all. He's from a family that tends to get this disease. And he's only wearing it in a preventive manner. Shari, that's also mutter. And he can tie it and untie it, even in Rishus Haram, again, because it's servicing him, but for some reason it's different than the poultice, because it's not actually healing him? I'm not sure. We're considering that it's healing him, but it's not considered attaching it for refuah. But he should not tie it onto, let's say, a chain or a ring, a bracelet or a necklace, or onto his ring. What we call these days a charm, in those days they really thought were charmed and really would heal him. The Yetzibol Rishus Haram, and he's allowed... he can't tie it into as a charm onto a chain and go out into Rishus Haram. Shaz Yom Rishus Haram L'Shem Tachshit. Because then you would say that this is going out as what we call a charm. It's considered Tachshit. The Ze'asad La Tachshu. But this amulet is not is not jewelry, it's a healing amulet. And we'll stop here.